shall we pray?
Our dear Father, Lord, we thank you for this
evening service.
Let us commence when we came in here to sit, but for the prelude, the worship. And the time has come, Lord, for us to fellowship with you around your word. You have blessed us tremendously in the morning, and you have done great and mighty things for us. We thank you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. For you are the Lord in the midst of your people. You shed your blood to buy us, Lord, from our lost estate, that we might become yours. Thank you. You have your right in our midst to move the way you want, because you are the only one that stands all alone in the midst of the seven lampstands, Lord, to take care of the needs of everyone in each of the ages. You have done that to those in the ages past. And this is our time. Lord, we thank you because you have the preeminence, the lordship over your heritage. So we commit ourselves to you, Heavenly Father, that the blessings you have blessed us with will be permanent to your glory. This evening still, we commit ourselves to you that you have your blessings to us and take us to higher ground, Lord, Eternal Father, so that your blessing will be complete and our joy might be fuller. We commit ourselves to you that you will have your way, speak to our heart, give us understanding of your word that we want to talk about, Lord, that we might be able to do your will. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Those who still are yet to join, we pray you will extend their steps. Will there be anyone, Lord? At the end, let your name be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you. Let's open our Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want to speak on something that is that I feel is important. Not new things, but something that I feel will help us as we continue our understanding. Let's read from verse 15 to 19, Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. For if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and heart to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The Lord bless the reading of this word to our hearts. Please, let's be seated. I believe that this part that I've just read will make us to be curious. You know, very, oh. I want to speak on foreknowledge and free moral agency. Foreknowledge and free moral agency. Praise be to God. When we talk about foreknowledge of God, it's what we have always been talking about. We're talking about God knowing the ending from the beginning. And by his foreknowledge, the prophet said he predestinated by foreknowledge. God did not just predestinate by will. He predestinates by foreknowledge. And foreknowledge is the ability that God has to see the ending from the beginning, to see what will happen in the future, based on his plan and his programs, which there is nothing on the heart that is not in God's plan, whether positive or negative. There are most times that we try to push certain things to God, and God is not responsible for those things. And that's one of the reasons I want to use this little within the space of time to kind of place us right, if God will help us. God knowing the ending from the beginning and knowing the actions that I'm going to take, knowing what I will do tomorrow, if I will do right, if I will do wrong, he knows it. Is that true? But as for me, pushing him to God, after all, God knows that I will do it. It's a wrong attitude. And it is trying to push to God what we should not push to him. Because what it means is that at the end of the day, you are saying, after all, now the question we want to ask is that, why did he place us on free moral agency? So, then what is free moral agency? Free moral agency is simply somebody that is all of us here. That's not placed on free moral agency. Even the little baby. The moment a man is born, he's on free moral agency. Only that until the age of 12, before the actions and reaction of that person is recorded, the person is responsible to God for whatever action or reaction he or she exhibits. A free moral agent is an individual capable of making their own choices and decisions based on their understanding of right and wrong. I want us to pay attention closely. A free moral agent, just like you and me, is an individual capable of making their own choices and decisions based on their understanding of right and wrong, and who can be held accountable for the consequences of those choices. Which means they have both the capacity. So that means I have both the capacity for moral reason and the freedom to act on those judgments that I make. So in other words, I have choices before me, and I'm to take decision. I have right, I have wrong. Just like we are reading Deuteronomy here. This is even the dictionary meaning. Talking about right and wrong. Because when you properly understand what free moral agency is, it means that you are given choice to take decision having been presented with right and wrong. You cannot be given a single option and then you are not asked to choose. You don't have an option. Am I correct? You have no option if it's only one option that exists. And you say choose. You say, well, I'm already in the corner. I don't have option. It's what is available that I will choose. But when you have right and wrong presented before you, you have an option. Praise be to God. Right? Where the prophet used the word self-will also to mean the same thing. The prophet used them interchangeably. Self-will and free moral agency.
Let me not take our time on that, because that will make us, you know, to spend more time. I want to read from Satan's Eden, paragraph 60, and I want it to be first place. Now, he, by this fall, human beings fell because of free moral agency that was introduced. If God did not introduce free moral agency, and I want you to understand very, very quietly, I mean, very seriously, that is the place of predestination. Nothing tampers with predestination. We are going to, if time permits also, we are going to blend everything together so that the picture will be clear. So that you will know that whatever decision you take, God has no contribution to it. Because he has placed you as a free moral agent. Because God cannot force, God cannot make you, influence you to do what is wrong, and he comes behind and punish you for what you have done. Just like a man that puts a slimy thing on the ground, and he knows that when you walk on a slimy path or a road, you will fall. And he has a chance to pass down. I said, this road you are passing, if you fall down, I'm going to beat you. I want you to understand very well. And the child falls, comes there, and passes through the slimy part and slides, and he falls, and you say, I'm going to beat you for falling down here. Most times we feel that that is what free moral agency means. No. Free moral agency, God is not setting trap for his people to fall so that he can punish them. That is not God. We have to get that understood very, very well. Because many people have that understanding. All right. Let me read this first, then we move forward. Now, have you gotten it? Now, he, by this fall, it has taken over and possessed the Garden of Eden himself. He took it over. That's Satan. And now he has had 6,000 years of deceitful rule, deceiving the people, God's children, as he did then. Because they were based on free moral agency. Where is it? I thought you said you got it. Satan's Eden, paragraph 60. Huh? All right. Because they were based on free moral agency to act any way they wish to, and believing that they will act right, or trusting they will act right, then they have come with the wrong act and sold their birthright, as Esau did for the war. And Satan won it, and he took it over, and he has 6,000 years to build upon this city. All right, that's that. Let's come to this. I want to read from Seven Churches book. Christ is the mystery of church of God revealed. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Paragraph 168 to 173. Christ is the mystery of God. You can listen to me. So that you know this time is not waiting for us. Alright? Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Paragraph 168. Now, the great revelation now to restore back his kinship. To bring back. Now, he had to let them get lost. Yeah. He had to let them get lost. You understand it? He had to let them sin. Put them on free moral agency. He could not make them sin and remain God. It's confusing to many people. Okay? He could not make them sin and remain God and then punish them for something he made them do. He wouldn't do that. That is why whatever decision you have taken, that is why judgment is going to be based upon our decisions. Judgment will be based upon the decisions that you have taken on any issue of life if you eventually don't find grace to repent. Are you following me? God will judge the world because they are placed on some free moral agency, and with the free moral agency, right and wrong is presented before them, they choose the wrong. That's what God is going to base his judgment upon. Free moral agency is the ability God gives to every man to be reasonable. You see the implication of what you are going to do. This is wrong. This is the punishment that will follow it. That's why I told them in Deuteronomy here, I place before you life and death. And he counseled them, choose life, that you might be what? That you might live. Are we sleeping? We just read it together. Most things that we suffer today, the problem that we enter into, is because we use our free moral agency to act. If you consulted God, you won't run into a problem. And if there's a problem after you have consulted God, he will sort it out. Yeah. So there's a difference between before we become a Christian, how free moral agency works, and when we become a Christian. When you become a Christian, it's a different thing. Well, just trust that the time will be sufficient. If not, another time we will follow it up. Maybe this might just be the foundation that we are trying to lay. Alright? He had to let them sin. Put them on free moral agency. He could not make them. Okay? He couldn't make them sin and remain God. Because he's not the author of unrighteousness. And remain God. And then punish them for something he made them do. This is after the revelation of the seven seals. Okay? This is preached in 1963, July. And the seals have been preached in March of the same year, 1963. So, this is present truth. Present truth. And punish them for something he made them do. But when he put them on partnership with him, then let man act as a free moral agent. See, the same thing he got you on today. See, you act any way you want to. You are a free moral agent. So therefore, if he puts the first like that, he has to put the second like that because it's infinite. The first decision he took, he will continue to take. Okay? He has to put everyone like that or he acted wrong in the first place. See? But everybody is on that same basis. Every one of us, we are on the basis of free moral agency to decide. Even most of the things you are hearing when Brasan was preaching, don't wear this, don't dress like this, don't do like this, don't do like this, this and these services and the rest of it. When is our free moral agency that are reflecting? We are using our free moral agency to take decisions, and that's why God will not force anybody. God doesn't force anybody. In the sermon, Ministry Explained, I think that's the only one. I preached in 1950, July 11. Look at what the prophet says there. Are you there? All right. Are you opening? Paragraph, okay. Paragraph 48. Thank you. The prophet says, What is sin? Not drinking, not smoking, not gambling, not rejecting church. Sin is unbelief. Is that right? He that believeth not is condemned already. See? You are not destroyed or separated from God because you are a sinner. You are separated from God because you refused to walk with him, to walk in his provided way. You refused. You got death and life before you. Just like Adam and Eve, every man is a moral agent. And the tree of life and the tree of death is before us all. You can take either one you wish to. It depends on what tree you eat of is what you are. That's right. And God created you a free moral agent to do whatever you want to do about it when you hear the truth. You do whatever you want to do about it. He can't make you love him, and he doesn't force you to love him. It's a free will. He whosoever wills. This is a part of the scripture. It's part of the message that we have to understand very perfectly. If I force my wife to love me, I will be afraid to marry her. Because there's no true love. But she come upon accepting me for what I was and marry me. That's right. And she loved me and she accepted me that way. And that is the way we got to come to God. He wants us to love him and come and believe his word. And God's word teaches divine healing. How many believe that? Let's see your hand up. Yeah. That's fine. Fine. The word teaches it. That settles it. How many believes in gifts and calling? That's fine. He does not force anybody to love him. Don't forget, there is the path of predestination. Where everything works out. But here, as an individual, even as a predestinated child of God, when you are still in sin, you took certain decisions that were wrong. You are punished for them. Even when you were young at home, before your parents, you did things that were wrong. You did those things because you used your free moral agent to do them. That's why there are punishments for any wrong that we have done. Now, upon hearing the gospel, and we have heard, this is the truth. Give your heart to me. Give your heart. Some will not respond at a certain point in time. Some will respond at a certain point in time. And then, when we now respond to the gospel, you know, there are still stages still. If it is not accomplished at once, depending on the condition of our hearts, because it is what should have been accomplished at once. Believing, right there, filled with the Holy Spirit. When we go for water baptism, come back rejoicing with the Holy Spirit. But if that's not the experience, if that's not the case, because of the condition of our heart, and you have to walk through justification to sanctification, sanctification to Holy Ghost baptism, in the course of that period, you are a free moral agent still. Even when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are still a free moral agent. The difference between you and the person that is yet to be filled with the Holy Spirit is that you find grace to surrender your will. You surrender your will, your desire. When you run contrary to God's will, you leave it. Because you now have his love in your heart by the way of the Holy Ghost. When you are yet to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you could also do it when you see God's grace and mercy. You can surrender also unto him and say, God, help me in this area. That is when he will now help. Because he can only help those who cannot help themselves. Until we surrender to him, he does not force us. He is not a taskmaster. Because he has placed us upon free moral agency to act any way you want to. Now the prophet told us in the sermon, times of decision. Excuse me. Times of decision. I think I put it here. Alright. Okay. Paragraph. Let me see where I put it. Sorry. Time of decision. Place it here. Oh. All right, paragraph 29. You see, God doesn't make all of our decisions. And there are time of decision. There are two series of it. You see, God doesn't make all of our decisions. And there are many times that God doesn't tell his prophets just what to do because they have to make the decisions. If there is no decision that we have to make, just wait every move on God, then there is no overcoming on our part. Are you following me? How many people are following me? I hope you are telling the truth. Because I expected some responses. That is why I said that. So, that God, you see, God doesn't make all of our decisions. And there are many times that God doesn't tell his prophet just what to do. They also have to take decisions. Let me pause a little bit here. To buttress this, what the prophet is saying here. Look at Brother Abraham. He has always been a Christian. When he went to this convention and he was invited, but several people. After he preached, they were looking for him. He was invited. But when he got back home to his wife, he told his wife, and he went to tell his mother-in-law. What did the mother-in-law tell him? He said, he must not see him with those people. The woman screwed him. And the brother, on the basis of that, what the woman said, took decisions that he will not go. What happens? Are we readers of the message? He suffered. He lost his wife. He lost his daughter on that basis. Because he listened to the mother-in-law. He refused to listen to God. God was calling him to go to the field. But he listened to the mother-in-law. What about another time that God told him they should not go to a particular place and the people influenced him? He almost died of amoeba. It was only Billy Paul that was spared out of all those people. That was why when they were forcing, he told them, not that he disobeyed, but the people were the sponsors. The one that was sponsoring the program, giving him itinerary, he said, no, God told him we should not go here. He said that bro Schwartz came to tell him that you are not the only one that God speaks to. As great as that man was, and as greatly as Wonder Bill Abraham spoke about that man, he was the one to tell Abraham, where you are not the only one that God speaks to. Then Abraham said, well, God told me not to go, but I will tell you that. Then he went into the bush and cut a leaf and put on their feet and said, if we all go, we will pay for it. Because God told him, and they all pay very dearly for it. What did he do? He used his free moral agency to follow them. And that was why God punished him at the end of the day for listening to the people rather than him. Even as a Christian, we could take the decision that you could suffer. Free moral agency. And you will not say it's God. He knows I was going to do it. You never have Abraham in all those things. He never linked it with if I knew it, that will happen to me. No. When those things happen to us, we must recognize we have taken wrong decisions. That's when he will come and help us. Abraham prayed. God was not talking to him. The angel was not visiting him. God gave him punishment. He didn't like it. From that moment, he decided that whatever you say, it is what God will tell me, that's what I will do. Free moral agency. God places us upon that so that you will be a human being, you will not be a robot. You have freedom to act on your own. And when you act on your own, you must expect God to react. If what you are doing, there is a punishment that attached to it, be waiting for it. If there is a blessing, be waiting for the blessing. Yes. So it's not something. We must not misunderstand, we must not misplace predestination for knowledge, God being infinite with free moral agency. After all, he knew I was going to do it. That's the wrong attitude. You are saying that God made you to do it. He knew you would do it. Because being infinite, knowing the ending from the beginning, having foreknowledge, he knew you would do it. Because you are on the basis. He knew that this thing that I've given to you, this is the way you are going to act. And he was not influencing it. And I don't want it to be like that. When it comes to salvation, you remember he predestinated. The prophet said that every child that is born on the earth, there is something that God slot in that child that he will come to by and by sometimes. That is what drives a child to come to the message of their day, to recognize it and they get eternal life. But that does not remove free moral agency. The place of free moral agency is that is what we take decisions upon. Oh, what type of job am I going to do? What type of husband am I going to marry? It is free moral agency that makes you to decide you want to marry an unbeliever. You are exercising your free moral agency. It is free moral agency that makes you not to pray very well. You just say yes to any man. Because you ought to pray to receive something from the hand of the Lord. Vindication. That tomorrow, if anything happens, that is what you fall back to and say, God, you spoke to me about this. It's an evidence. Our God speaks. He's a living God. He's a living God. Living. You know, sometimes, brethren, we talk about this pillar of fire. It's a living fire. You know, moving. It's not a picture. Oh, glory be to God. It moves. It has emotion. You know that it moves. Because the prophet will say, it's moving this way. And it will move from this person, move to this person. You know? God has done great and mighty things in our generation. So our God is a living God who hears. Because he asked us to ask. He asked us to ask. So if you don't take, now this is it. God canceled them. He said, choose life. Because that's the only thing he could tell them. So that you don't die. Why should you die? There's another part of the scripture that says, choose life. Why will you die? You ought to choose life. So he is not the author of wickedness. So our lives, we have to, that is when you can straighten your life entirely and know that, okay, if you are seeking the Holy Ghost baptism, you have to work very carefully on this area. Whatever decision you are taking, then you must know that you are going to be responsible for your decisions. Let's read on. Because they have to make decisions. If there is no decisions, if there is no decision that we have to make, just wait every move of God, then there is no overcoming on our part. And sometimes they make wrong decisions. God's anointed prophets make wrong decisions. And many times are deceived. And God will not talk. God used the case of Isaac. Just Jacob and Esau. The two sons. How Jacob went to wear the cloth of the mother put the cloth on him. And he went to grab the skin of the animal that he used to cover his body. Jacob looked at the mother and said, this thing you are making me to do, this is my father gets. He will curse me. The mother said, let the curse be upon my head. Helper of destiny. The destiny. What God destined him for was the birthright. That's why the prophet said, anyhow he got it. In the sermon, he only recognizing and acting of God's word. Just for him to get the birthright, he got it anyhow. But remember, there was a prophecy concerning when the two of them were struggling in the womb of the mother. That they went to consult. And it was told, two nations are in your womb. And that's what he said, the elder will serve the younger. And they came out from the womb. That began to walk upon them. That began to walk upon them. Now somebody asked me a question. And he said that, and somebody was saying, he said, another person can take the blessing of another person. That even if the person is predestinated to that blessing, that I said, where do you see it in the scripture? He was citing the example of the people of the world. I said, Shebi, they told you. Do you know the plan of God for the person that got the blessing? And the person that lost the blessing? Do you know God's mind concerning it? Do you know the mind of God concerning it? Then I brought him to Jacob and Esau. The blessing was originally meant for Jacob, not for Esau. In God's plan, he was the owner of the birthright. Esau was just born as a figurehead. That was why he despised it. In a nature for what? A pottage. That he had only one meal. And he lost an eternal blessing. Three more agents. So, God did not reveal it to Isaac. Because that would be counterproductive. God ordained Esau, Jacob, to get the blessing. If God will not reveal it to him that this is what he said, it will not be counterproductive. Oh, gracious Lord. Predestination. The way this thing works, We just have to say, Your Majesty, to the Almighty God. God did not reveal it to him. He has to take his decision. The prophet said, that's the example the prophet gave in that place. That even prophets, they take wrong decisions. They take decisions and they are wrong. God's anointed prophets make the wrong decisions and many times are deceived. And yet God will not tell them. Because they also must come and take decisions. And upon the decision that they have taken, God will take actions. And we are talking about Brother Abraham just now. Paragraph, let's read paragraph 32. So the time has been allotted to every man. Paragraph 32 of the same psalm. Don't take it away. You just scroll down. Okay. So the time has been allotted to every man to make his decision whether he is a preacher or a prophet or a church member or what more, he's got to make a decision. That decision that you have to make, it is your free moral agency that you are going to use. Because you will weigh things together. You look at it, it is presented before you. What benefit am I going to get from here? What benefit am I going to get from here? And when you weigh the two together, then you take a decision. So when you take decision, at the end of the day, whatever the outcome of it, you dance to the music. If it is negative. But if it is positive, then you praise God for it. You rejoice and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. But if it is negative, you will wear a long face. So that is the way it works. And it is not God that influences that. He leaves us. He left Adam. Of course, by foreknowledge, he knew Adam was going to do it. He knew. But he didn't interfere with that. I put you on this moral agency to do what you want to do with it. I'm giving you this opportunity. Go and choose what you want. But Abraham also was given that opportunity one time. There were a man and a woman that were trying to do the unthinkable right inside the church. The man, the prophet said, he was trying to warn the guy, but remember, this is a church environment. This is not, if it's your girlfriend or your wife, why don't you go back home? Go take her home and go and do whatever you want to. It's not our business there. The man did not listen. The prophet said, on the point that he almost, uncovered the lady. Almost doing what he was not supposed to be doing. And then, meanwhile, he's been told that there's a test that's coming your way. But he didn't. Was not told what type of test was it. The sudden. And he just noticed that. And then he was waiting. Oh. And then he was praying in the night. But what am I to do? And God said, whatever you say is what I will do. And he said, I forgive them. And God told him, that is what I expect you to say. Now listen very closely.
But God placed Abraham on a platform there. You will say because he's the messenger. Listen closely. Power. When godliness is not combined with power, is misused. When godliness is not combined with power, you become tyrannical. You become tyrannical. You become despotic. You become wicked without power. But when godliness is mixed with it, godliness will influence your decision. Are you getting me now? This is where being a Christian, the decision that you're going to take will be influenced by the grace of God upon your life. And that was the decision that the prophet took there. The grace of God in his life influenced the decision.
If the prophet was not a Christian, he would just curse them. Look at the prophets of old. Elisha, when he was climbing the mountain, what was happening to him? What happened? Look at the children, what they were saying. Akparigokelo. Is that not? The children were saying that. And the prophet said it was what the parents were telling their children at home about that man. And in annoyance, he cursed those children. And Bia came out of the place and tore many of them to pieces. The prophet said that was a reward for their parental delinquency.
We must understand how free moral agency works as a believer. So it's not everything you push to God. The way that you can place yourself, you can release yourself, you can surrender your will to God. When it is time to take decision, that is when you seek God's will. Now, most times, we will bring requests. Pray that God will guide me on this decision. God will guide me on this decision. We already, you are zero your mind what you are going to do. You are just playing. God is not going to come to influence your decision. When the prophet said, when a man is sincere, God will make him or her to know the truth. Is that not what the prophet said? Yeah. When you are sincere about a matter, and you truly want to know the mind of God, God knows. If you truly want to know God's mind, God knows. Because he wants to make himself known. He wants to express his grace and his mercy. And so, when you pray and you sincerely want to know his will, he will come and make his will known to you. And even having been made known to you, you still have the right to say, I will follow that, I will not follow that. Remember the time of Jeremiah? They came to Jeremiah and said, look, go and consult God for us. Whatever God tells you, that's what we are going to do. Everything. Just go to God, ask him whatever does he want us to do so that we can be delivered from this Babylonian king, this king of Babylon and everything, so that we're not going to captivity. We'll not do this one. Jeremiah was happy. Because you have been trying to get them to that stage where they will be ready to hear what God says and do it. They say, whatever God tells you, we will do. And Jeremiah went to pray. So, after a short while, God spoke to him. And then he came back to the people. When they heard what God told them that, what they should do, they told Jeremiah that we have heard. We are the one that asked you to go to Gwabi. You are gone, you have come back. We are not going to do what you said. It's there in the book of Jeremiah. I can't remember the chapter now. It's been longer I read that. Can't remember now. Of course, it's there. I know it's there. Of course, I read it. They said, we will not do it. Even though God says it. They were dealing, they were very, very hard towards Jeremiah. They took a hold of him. Thereafter, they began to beat him, and that's when later they threw him in dungeon. And look at what Jeremiah said. Lamentation. You can read Lamentation, the things that he was also saying. Free moral agency. That is the problem that the world has. That's want everybody to do what pleases them. That what makes you to do what pleases you. In a home where the husband works on his free moral agency and the wife is like that and they surrender to God, then the home is a mini Armageddon. Yeah. Because it is what the husband wants and the wife does not want. It is what the wife wants that the husband does not want. That's conflict in the home. The pastor used to sing song, Jesus in the family. Happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. But Satan in the family. That's a mini war of Armageddon. May the Lord be our help.
Alright. Now, we realize that it is important for us as believers to understand these things. Let me read from seven church ages. I'll give you where to just and all that dwell upon the heart. Would that be okay? Let me see how I'm going to put it. But that life, search for this, but that life could not and would not, but that life could not and will not, but that life could not and will not. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8, and all that dwell upon the heart shall worship him, Satan, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But that life could not and will not be shared in any other way than through the way of God's manifest in the flesh. This was a part of his eternal and predestinated purpose. Okay? This plan was to be the praise of the glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the plan of salvation. Now listen closely. God being a savior, it was necessary that he predestinated a man who would require salvation in order to give himself a reason and purpose of being. Are you following me? God being a savior, it was necessary that he predestinate a man who will require salvation in order to give himself a reason and purpose of his, of what? Of being. That's God. For God, for him to give himself a reason for existence, to show, to give reason for his being, that is, why he's existing. He has to predestinate a man to salvation. And for that to happen, being that while he was all alone, he had that attribute in him as a savior. He wants to be that, so he has to make a plan for redemption. And the process of redemption, and he cannot work until the man is given the right to choose between right and wrong. That was why God introduced the free moral agency. That's why he introduced it. So that the rest, he knew that if he placed Adam upon it, he would choose the wrong side by his foreknowledge. Placing Adam, giving him the right to do what is right. Give him the right to do what is wrong. And when Adam looked at him and said, well, and that's why the prophet said that if he was deceived, Adam was not deceived. Adam knew what he was doing. He knew the implication. The prophet said he knew the punishment that would come upon the world through the decision that he was taking. The prophet said he was not deceived. He knew. He willfully did that. Why? Because he was given the right to do what was. To give him the chance to choose between right and wrong on his own. And he did that. Now, God did that so that with that now, it is not possible for God to step in as a redeemer. To now redeem her, because it was that exactly that brought forth to every human race. If Adam had not participated in what he did, it wouldn't have affected us. Are you getting me now? He would not have attested the entire race. It's because of Adam, not because of Eve. It's not because of Adam. All of us, until a man is born again, he has Adamic nature, not Eve's nature. It's Adamic nature. So it's because Adam agreed with Eve. That's what brought the fall. God could have done something else with Eve if he wanted. But that is the way God saw that it was going to happen. And he said, let it be. The prophet said, that is how he predestinated. He sees that this one will accept it. This one will not accept it. He said, this one that will accept it, let it be.
Being that that is what he foresaw in his mind before the foundation of the world.
He wanted to have people that will live with him eternally.
He predestinated a man who will require salvation in order to give himself a reason and purpose of being. That is 100% correct, and multiple of scripture bear it out, as does the very pointed verse of Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
So you will see the place of free moral agency, which God gives to everyone. God begins to take record of your life. You begin to be responsible to God at the age of 12. We all came to church. I choose this decision to wear this clothes. God did not tell me wear this clothes. I was the one that prepared yesterday because I knew today is my bad day. Let me look for some fine clothes to wear and look for some fine shoes to wear, as we were discussing in the office. So I prepared that already. It was a choice that I made. If God had come to tell me that don't wear that, wear this, you won't see me wear this. Then I will be the manifestation of God's thoughts. Are you getting me now? So that is why what he wants done is to have the preeminence in his church by the way of Holy Ghost baptism, so that his thought, we can be his thought expressed. So that we can be his thought. He didn't take the free moral agency from us, becoming Christian, but he wants us to surrender it. Lay it down. So when he tells you, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do, you say, thank you, Lord. Because we now know better. Because by the Holy Spirit, we now have the mind of Christ. So we now have the mind of Christ. We will be thinking like Christ. Even when we are given choices to take, to make rather, out of options, we will consult God and say, God, I'm a human, I can make mistakes. And that's why we make mistakes. In taking in our decisions, we make mistakes. I should not have done it like that. But God doesn't make mistakes, he's perfect. And so if we will consult him, things that give us heartache, things that bring tears from our hearts, things that affect us, that destabilize us, if we have committed them to God and we have sought God's leadership and guidance, we might not go through those things. So let's learn to surrender our free moral agency to God. Because it will help you, it will help me. When you learn to surrender yourself to God, you can only help those who cannot help themselves. When a man stands and says that, well, I know what I'm doing. And then God steps by. God, he doesn't force anybody. He wants you to recognize that you need him. That's what God, he wants you to recognize that you need him. The prophet said it is complimentary to say that God helps those who help themselves. It is those who cannot help themselves that God can help. So if you can help themselves, you don't need God's help. It is those who recognize that they cannot help themselves. They are the one that will seek God's help and say, God, please come and help me. When a little child, you are trying to wear clothes for a little child, and you say this, he said, leave me, I can wear it by myself. And he's struggling to wear it. You will wait and be looking at him, let him sweat. It's small time, you see the child sweating there, and then, mommy, please wear it for me. Maybe you say, you can wear it. Wear it. Wear it. Sometimes God allows us to do like that. And then we come back to him and say, oh God, Father, please be merciful to me. So we must recognize this, that God plays on upon free moral agency. And that is why, like I was saying in the morning, talking about being objective and subjective, when you allow God to influence your choice, you will take the right decision. And because the prophet told us that even prophets, they take wrong decisions. Prophets that hear voices, that see visions, that hear God's voice. Let's learn an example from our prophet.
People can influence you to do what is wrong. But you must know that if somebody influences you to do what is wrong, you are the one that will bear the brunt.
There is a, newly came to Ibadan. Sorry, I know our time is, newly came to Ibadan. There is a Muslim, Aladi Adua, they call him Aladi Adua. He's on the Ife Road. That man used to have his camp there. So, he newly came to Ibadan. I used to listen to his preaching because very funny man. He's a very funny man. So by the time he will be preaching to his people, he will be saying that, you will say, asetani lo jen se, asetani ni, asetani ni. Then he goes, asetani ti o kwe ko ma jinyan. Asetani ti o kwe o ma jeka. Oh, I'm a kwe akwe, akwe asetani ni, asetani ni. He kwe ro lo npa, into ve se ni. Just like we can yield our free moral agency to God, that's how our free moral agency can be manipulated by Satan. When he sees that you are the type that say, now the prophet used self-will. Self-will. The way the dictionary explains self-will is not, I'm not pleased with it. It is that of the prophet that I have taken. And the prophet uses self-will and free moral agency the same way. But the dictionary meaning of self-will means stubbornness, headiness. But the prophet used it, you know, interchangeably with moral agency. That it is self-will, it's the gate of your heart that you open. So it is free moral agency that you open your heart. God is talking. As we are hearing this now, you are still placed upon free moral agency to take decision. Yes. Upon what you are hearing. And so, it is up to every one of us. Every time we come to church, you hear the gospel, you hear this, remember you are a free moral agency. Brother Sam emphasized in the morning that many will come and go back the same because they have not recognized the tricks of the devil. How he uses the tricks he uses to cheat them when they come to church. And the devil has known you, he has known, he has studied you. Remember, the prophet told us that no man is a match to Satan. But the only thing that the devil that is can outmatch him is the only spirit. There is no man that can he's a supernatural being. And he has been dealing with man from Eden. He has known the nature, all the capacity and the ability of man, intelligence of man, he knows it. He's not the man that gives man reasoning power. That makes man to reason against God's word. He's the one. He knows the best weapon that will work. And that is why God also gave revelation of his word to his people. So when we have the revelation of God's will, when God reveals his word to us, then our free moral agency is suspended. It's paused. It's not active. Because when it's revealed to you, everything other thing comes under that. And that is why every time we ask for God, make yourself known to me. Reveal your word to me. Reveal yourself to me. Until that time. And if we don't understand the way this works, there are things you'll be pushing before that we are supposed to be sincere with ourselves about, sincere with yourself about, so that we can truly repent and follow the right path. Or else you'll be pushing what you are not supposed to push to God. You push it to Him. Let's bow down our heads. Many of us are here this evening. There is none of us that does not have choice to make, that does not have decisions to make. Many have been presented with options, and wrong decisions have been taken. And we have suffered for wrong decisions. God, who placed us upon free moral agency, knows that we know the difference between right and wrong, and that we know the implication of choosing the wrong thing, and we know the implication of choosing the right thing. And it's the only God that can help us to choose right. A man will always be selfish. A man will always be self-centered until God helps him. And this help we are talking about is when we call upon him. Because he doesn't force anybody. He doesn't force us to do anything. He leaves you with your decisions, and then whatever the outcome of your decision, then you live with it. Whatever we are today, the prophet told us that it's a product of the decisions we have taken in the past. Whether life, whatever stage of life we are, our marital life, our financial life, our material life, our whatever, is because of decisions that we have taken. Every time we took those decisions, we were sane. Only today we realize that we have done what was wrong. But then we thought we were right. Let's talk to God this moment. Where that applies to you, where you know you have taken wrong decisions, and you are not happy with the decision you have taken in the past. You just to ask God for mercy to help you in the future to be able to take the right decision. That God will help you. And God will help you to love him, to surrender to him. Because God can still make his will known, and we may not accept it. But when we become Christian, and by his spirit living in our heart, then we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. His will we will do. We will be interested in his will. We'll be interested in doing his will. We'll not break his word. It will be our guide, it will be our pilot, it will be our sailor. On the sea of life, on the aviation of life, it will be. On the way of life, it will be our driver. If we can surrender our will to him, to guide us. If you have taken decisions in the past and you are not happy with it, will you ask God to help you? That in the future, that he will help you to take the right decision. That he will help you. He will give you grace to surrender, to consider a lot of things. His word, to put his word first before taking decision. If you need God's help, while I invite the servant of God, will you make your request known to God?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon, so evening, for another privilege to sit at your feet and learn more of you. Dear Lord Jesus, we have heard your word within this 1 hour, but your word is simple, plain, and deep, and is clear enough. telling us about your foreknowledge, because you know the ending from the beginning, and also the free moral agency that you place us upon as human beings, which leads to our decisions. And many times, as mortal, as human beings, we make decisions based on the way we see it, and not based on your instructions to the letter. Lord, we have been shown examples of how easy and possible it is for anybody to fall in the trap of this, including even prophets. And our prophet in this generation was also brought in as an example. Dear Father, we thank you because in the time of our prophet, the ones he gave to us as his experience, you gave him opportunity to make amendments. Looking at the scripture, there are people that did not even have the opportunity to make amendments. Remember that young prophet in 1 Kings 13 that was influenced by the older prophet to do contrary to your instructions. He never had the time to make amendments because he died with it. And Lord, nobody will know, because we don't know our end, we don't know how many years, how many months, how many weeks and days that we have before us, before we meet you, whether as individual or collectively. Because we know that it's possible for even a child of yours to get stubborn, and taken in that stubbornness, his days being cut short. Our desire is to be in your will. Even though we are given this free moral agency, as your children, we want to do your will, we want to think your thoughts, we want to take your instructions, we want to follow your directives. We don't want to do it the way we see it. Be gracious unto us. Lord, you have the power to expand these things deeper and larger in the heart of everyone than the short time that we have to listen to it. When we meditate on it, looking at the scriptures and the message of the hour, help us, dear Father. There are many hands that went up, reflecting on the past and looking into the future, asking for your grace. Your daughter is over at the altar. You know the heart of every one of us, dear Father. None of us want to be found in any wrong condition, in any wrong situation. We pray you be gracious to us. May these things not pass over our head. We ask for understanding. We ask for revelation. Deal with us as individuals, that the effects of your word we take, Lord, we'll be seen in our life. We pray, O God of heaven, that we will not be led into greater trouble before us after we have had this. Have your way, dear Father. Thank you for your servant we have used. Virtue has left no doubt. We pray you replenish him and recall his strength and lift up the horn of his ministry. And Lord, we want to see commit as many as we have used today. Lord, right from praying, those that clean the church, even after the initial cleaning, those that came in the afternoon to re-prepare the place for this last service, whatever part your children have played, we ask to bless each one, Father. May we not lose our reward. May we not labor in vain. Help us to serve you with all our heart, Lord, that the destination, Lord, will be at your feet, O God. We just want to commit this new week that we have started again in this wonderful way into your hands. Lord, you are the one that knows everything that the wheat contains. We ask that you protect us. We ask that you will guide us. We ask that you will bless us. We ask that you will order our footsteps. We ask that you will help us to represent wherever we are. We ask, O God, that in every area of our life, may we never bring disgrace to your name. Wherever we are, may we represent you correctly. Bless the work of our hands. Bless the business people. Bless the workers. Give them skill and strength. Lord, those who are looking for work and they are not seen, make a way for your people. Open doors of mercy. Be gracious unto your people. Be with students and bless them, Lord. Give them understanding and wisdom. Lord, we pray, dear Father, for the sick and the afflicted. You are the Lord our God that healeth all our diseases. It is not your will that your children should be tortured by the enemy and be suffering, O living God. Lord, in a state of discomfort, may you come on this in, dear Father, and rebuke the works of the enemy and grant us that deliverance to your sons and daughters. Let it be, eternal Father. Meet with all our needs. Guide our footsteps. As we go home very soon, may you go with us. May we have a peaceful night rest, Lord. When the week will start, oh God, the working week will start tomorrow. We pray, dear Father, that it will be with your grace, Lord, and be accompanied by your blessings. Thank you, eternal Father. Your servant that went to Bakatari, we trust, oh God, that you have made use of him there as a great channel of blessing. We pray you will strengthen him, Father, and bless him also, Lord. As we just ask that to grant them joining masses when they are coming back. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Lord, some of us, your servants especially, the evangelists will be traveling to Elon this week. May you go before him. Lord, may you protect him, dear Father. Make him a channel of blessing to your people there. And the wedding that is taking place on Saturday, oh God, in Mowe, we pray that you have your way. Grant joining mercies to those who are attend. We pray, oh God, for the couple that your mercy will stand for them, Lord. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and granting our petitions. If we are still here by Wednesday, may you gather us in our numbers and send your blessings upon us again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. We are grateful unto God that we have the privilege to be in church today. And I believe that we have received bountifully from him. And we have been blessed. Well, I have been blessed. Yes, because sometimes, God bless you. Shall we rise? I think that, I know we know this song, but there's a tune I want us to use. 353. Oh Jesus, I have promised. We are waiting for the projectors. Let's go now. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve to the end. Be thou forever near my master, my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side. No wonder from the battle if thou let me feed in. The word is ever near. The word is ever near. I see the size that does. I see the size that does. And the tempting sounds that my foes are ever near me. My foes are ever near.
let me hear this week. Thank you.